We've got a short lesson this afternoon. It's going to come from a verse in 2 Timothy 4 and 10. 2 Timothy 4 and 10, it says, For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia. I enjoy doing character studies, and in our Bible there's a lot of major characters that we can study about. The Bible gives a lot of history on these people. We can see what they've done wrong, what they've done right. And there's a lot of things that we can learn by their behavior and the relationships that they have. But there are also various minor characters in the Bible that also have lessons that they can teach us. One of these is Demas. We don't know much about Demas. We know that probably he was a Gentile. He was one that became a Christian. He was one then that traveled with the Apostle Paul. He accompanied the Apostle Paul on several of the preaching journeys. Obviously, he was a dependable person. He was a speaker. He was one that was instrumental in the spreading of the gospel. But other than these few things, we know very, very little about this man by the name of Demas. We first read about Demas in Colossians 4 and 4, where he is named alongside Luke, who is the Gospel of Luke and the author of the book of Acts. And according to this writing, or the lack of any negatives in Colossians, we get the idea that Demas is faithfully serving alongside Luke and Paul and the others in spreading the gospel in the areas. We read of him again in Philemon 1:24, where Paul sends greetings on behalf of all of those that are with him, including Demas, the brother in Christ, as he refers to it. And then we hear about Demas the third time in 2 Timothy 4:10. And on this occasion, it's not for praise, but it's a very negative report that the Apostle Paul tells us about Demas. Paul says that Demas has abandoned him. Demas has taken off. Demas has left him. And he has left him because he loves the present world. This is a time when Paul is in prison in Rome. It's a very serious time for Paul. It's probably with a very heavy heart that Paul gives these words and says these words, because this is the time that Paul was persecuted, he was in jail, and he really needed a friend. And Demas, he says, left him because he loved the present world. I think this is important. It could have been that Demas was stressed out. Paul could have said he's stressed out from all of the pressures and the problems that we're facing in Rome, and he can't take the pressure and he's gone home. Or could have said he's sick, he needs to retire. There's all sorts of things that Paul could have said to describe why Demas left, but that's not what Paul said. Paul said he left him, he abandoned him, and because he loved the present world. Just a footnote, and I don't know how much truth there is to this. It has absolutely nothing to do with our lesson this afternoon. But Demas, the scholars say, is a nickname or a short name for Demetrius. So Demetrius, they call him Demas, like we call Demas, like we would call Robert Bob or a William or Will or Bill. And the scholars say that Demetrius was an individual that in later times came back to the gospel. That may have been Demas, it may have been the same man, it may have been somebody totally different. I like to think that maybe Demas, after doing all the good works that he did, and after he abandoned the Apostle Paul, that he did come back. This lesson today we're going to call the Demas disease, because we're going to look at three things that caused Demas to love this present world and caused him to leave the Apostle Paul. Let's go to Heavenly Father to word. Do not love the world or anything in the world. 1 John 2, this is verses 15 through 17, John says, do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, that he who does the will of the Father abides forever. The teaching here tonight is do not love the world. Demas had forsaken the Apostle Paul because he loved the present world. Now the word world can be used in two different ways. There's two different thoughts in the Bible using the word world. The first one is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this referred to the created world and the lost people that were in the world. This is one way to talk about the world. But there's another way to talk about the world, and this is what Paul was saying when he was talking about Demas had loved the present world, and this is the world system that is under the evil influence of Satan. In our text, this is the way the word world is used. We know that we are children of God, John says, or James says, but that the whole world is under the control of the evil one or Satan. So this is the world that John commands us not to fall in love with, and this is the world that Demas had abandoned Paul to go into. There is no middle ground on this issue, and it is stated, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus taught in Matthew 6:24 that it is impossible for us to serve two masters. We're going to love one and hate the other. There's no middle ground on this issue. It's black and white. You cannot love and you cannot be beholden to both. But Christians have the same problem that everyone else does, and occasionally we become attached to the things of the world. And this is the problem that Demas had when he abandoned the Apostle Paul. Just for the sake of the lesson, to make my points tonight, I'll call this the Demas problem, or the Demas syndrome, or the Demas disease. And I've named this problem about after Demas because he turned his back on the Apostle Paul and abandoned him when he needed him, because he had fallen in love with the world and out of love with God. Paul had this to say about him, but it was very negative. Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. What causes one to love the world and to fall away from the duty that he has to God? Well, the Bible is pretty explicit on this and explains it pretty well. One of the reasons, or one of the symptoms of this Demas problem or Demas disease would be the feelings of carnality. Carnality is the cravings of a sinful man, and it is a very strong symptom of the Demas problem or the Demas disease. The Bible refers to this syndrome or this problem as a lust of the flesh, and that's the way the Bible describes it in the writings of James. Flesh is another one of those words like world that can be used with two different meanings. It can mean our physical body. In other words, we live in a flesh and blood body. So what we talk about, we live in the flesh. We are. We're a fleshly being. We are. A physical body is flesh. But also, when you speak of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, it can refer to the nature of mankind that is evil, that mankind is born with, because all mankind is sinful. So, obviously, when it's talking about the flesh, the lust of the flesh, it's talking about that sinful nature that humanity has that would cause him to indulge our sinful natures of the world under the influence of sin and under the influence of Satan and not under the influence of God. When we speak of our fleshly body, we know that our fleshly body has needs and it has appetites. Our bodies have to have food. Our bodies have to have shelter and clothing. Our physical bodies have to have love. There is a desire that is built into humanity for this. And all of that is fine, and all of that is well, and God has created it and created us with situations where all of these needs can be fulfilled. However, these needs can also be perverted or taken to the extremes, and when this happens, then we are moving into this Demas syndrome, which is away from God. Food. There's nothing wrong with food. We have to have food. The body requires food to live. But when the body takes the food to an extreme, it becomes gluttony. And this becomes something that is different than just feeding the body what it needs to live. The God-given desire for love. This is great. It's wonderful. And God has set parameters for this. But when love becomes lust, becomes adultery, and it is perverted when directed towards someone that we're not married to, then we got a real problem with this lust of the flesh. And when any individual, whether it be a church or not, that indulge in these cravings, they are perilous because they have the demon's disease or the demon's problem. Jesus gave us an example against these. After he had been tempted in the wilderness for some 40 days and he had been fasting, and when he was coming down off the mountain, Satan approached Jesus and he said, "Turn these stones into bread, Jesus, so that you can eat and you can be satisfied. And Jesus said, it is written, Satan, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, get out of my way, Satan. Get behind me. Leave me alone. Because Jesus was trying to teach the lesson here that the lust of the flesh is not the purpose that we are to strive for and to gratify our cravings that are extreme or against the will of God. It's not important. The thing we ought to do is to fulfill the will of God. It's very possible. It is very possible that when Demas left Paul, it was because he had a carnal nature and he wanted to follow after the lust of the flesh. He could have been covetous. Maybe Demas didn't have enough. Maybe he couldn't have the things that he wanted. Maybe being with Paul and being in this position of being a teacher, obviously, maybe he just did not have enough to make him happy. The Bible calls covetousness the lust of the eyes. It is another symptom of the Demas problem or the Demas disease that we're talking about here. Covetousness is the desire to have everything that we set our eyes upon. If we see it, we want it. And if we want it, we get it. Advertisers understand this concept very well, and they're able to really take advantage of individuals that have a covetous nature because they flash images on our TV screens or in magazines of everything from cars to clothes to drinks to food. Drinks, especially the adult beverages, the beer and the alcohol and the spirits that we see advertised on television continually. These are things that the advertisers have learned if they can put in front of us and make them attractive to us, that the covetous people will fall for this and they will covet what they are selling. The idea here is, the advertisers are trying to make and accepted by a covetous person, is that the grass on our neighbor's side of the fence is always greener than the grass is on our own side of the fence. And advertisers are able to exploit this need of humanity to get people to do what they want them to do. James speaks of the extremes that people will go to in order to get the things that they desire in James 4. And 4, when he says you want something but you don't get it, you kill, you covet, but you cannot have what you want, you quarrel, you fight. Covetousness is a very serious part of the Demas disease in that it is always wanting something that we don't have or wanting something that someone else has that we don't have. And the problem is that what's on the other side of the fence is nothing more than what we have on our own side of the fence. And the desires that we have that we will fight and do anything to covet, after we have obtained these things, the satisfaction never lives up to its billing. The individual is left empty. The individual is left unsatisfied. And this causes a covetousness, a feeling to want even more than what we have. That burger on the television ad is never as big and juicy as it is at the pickup window. Several years ago, Cheryl and Vicki and John and I went to Austin, I think it was, and we saw a big billboard with the mega burger advertised at a chain. The thing was that big, filled a dinner plate. So we stopped at the chain and ordered the mega burger because we wanted it. It was more the size of a biscuit than it was a dinner plate. It was very disappointing. It was nothing at all like it was advertised. I live out in the edge of town, and my neighbors on both the east and the west both have cattle and horses. And the neighbors to the west, every year, he'll plow and plant grass every year. And that grass will get up maybe knee high when it rains and it's green. And I've seen his cattle and his horses out there knee deep in that green grass. But yet my fence will bear testimony to the fact that those horses and cattle are leaning over my fence to eat that old dry mesquite grass on my side. The grass on my side is not even as green as it is on my neighbor's. Too many Christians today act like these cows. They just want what they can have. And it's very possible. It's very possible that Demas had a covetous nature and he simply was not being satisfied with the materialism of the world that he wanted. And he wanted more and more than he was able to receive as the associate of the Apostle Paul. And Jesus faced this one too. This lust of the flesh and now the lust of the eye, Jesus faced this too. And Satan himself tempted Jesus. When he when he took him up into a high spot and he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world, and Satan says, I will give everything you see to you, Jesus, if you'll just fall down and worship me. And Jesus says, away from me, Satan, get thee behind me. For it is written, worship your God and serve him only. Jesus recognized the fact that if we indulge in the wants and the wants of covetousness and materialism, it's the same thing as worshiping these things. And to worship the things of the world is to worship the one to whom they belong. So the essence of materialism is the worship of Satan. It's to be avoided because it's very serious. And covetousness will destroy us because it is one of the sins, the sin, the lust of the eye that Satan uses against each and every one of us. And then there's cockiness. It could have been that old Amos would just get him to feel a little more important about himself than what he really was. Maybe it came to the point that Demas became a little boastful of what he had done. We don't know this because the Apostle Paul didn't tell us. These are just things that it could have been. He may have been cast under the what the Bible refers to as the pride of life. The pride of life consists of two things. One of them, one that is proud and boasts about the material things that he owns, his possessions, and one could be boasting about how smart they are, or brilliant they are, or about the accomplishments, the things that they have done. When an individual becomes so proud and so happy about his position in life, or the positions in life, that he begins to exhibit this pride of life syndrome, he's in danger. He's in danger of stepping over the edge and getting away from the graces of God. The Bible tells us that pride puts your faith, that pride puts the put your faith in yourself and your accomplishments and the things that you own and have rather than putting your faith in God. Because of this, pride will eventually cut one off from the grace of God because grace is received through faith in God himself. The Bible clearly teaches that pride will lead to a downfall. Proverbs 16 and 18 very plainly says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And Jesus dealt with this as well. Jesus was tempted in this matter because Satan, after he had been fasting 40 days, took Jesus to the top of the temple and he said, throw yourself off of this temple. The angels are going to protect you and save you before you hit the ground. So go ahead and jump off and let them do it. And again, Satan turns to Satan and Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. If we've been blessed with positions and power and possessions and accomplishments, we need to be very, very careful that we do not fall into this category of the pride of life and begin to put our confidence in the things that we have because these things are not going to last. In conclusion, the Bible teaches us that one day the world and all of the things of the world will be destroyed by fire. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. Those that have lived their life only for the things of the world, the materialism, the accomplishments, and the approval of the world, on that day when the world is destroyed and will burn, that's all you're going to have left. And it's going to be absolutely nothing because the world and all the things of the world are going to destroy. This verse is also teaching us that we will share in the destiny of whatever we give our life to, whatever we accomplish, whatever, wherever our treasure is. If it's on earth, it will go up in fire just like the rest of the world. If we give our lives to the world, then it's all going to burn up. And all of those that are part of the world are going to burn up with it. The Bible tells us that if we give our lives to God and put things in our spiritual account, that we can enjoy eternity with God forever. The man who does the will of God lives forever. I found this little quote that I think is pretty cute, and I think it says what I need to say. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what is done for Christ will last. If it belongs to the world, it's gone. The teaching here tonight is live for eternity, and don't live for the now. We should be more concerned about laying up our treasures for our retirement in eternity. And we should be more concerned about what God thinks of us upon the judgment day than what people think of us today. I hope that Demas came to his senses and returned to the gospel. I truly do, because he did work for Paul. He was a good friend with Paul. He was an instrument with Paul. he abandoned Paul, I hope he made this right. This sermon today is attempts to identify the symptoms of what we call the Demas syndrome, or the Demas disease, because this is the disease of falling in love with the world, and we will perish with the world. Let's have a song of meditation.